Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from holidays of radio's past. Mark Levonier, your host for this hour. Later on, it's The New Adventures of Sherlock Holmes from Christmas Eve 1945. But first, we continue the Cinnamon Beer series. This is part 19 of 26, heard on December 17th, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
Now we'd better hurry and see about Judy and Jimmy. You'll remember how the Cockleburg Cowboys, headed by Slim Pickens, rescued the twins, Cinnamon Bear, and the Crazy Quilt Dragon from the awful river of mud. But mud was the least of their troubles. They had no more instructions for getting their Silver Star back together again. That is, not until Slim Pickens showed them a most magical trick. Taking Judy's little looking glass, he placed it inside his 10-gallon hat, and magico! Queen Melissa appeared just like that and wrote them a note which said, "Underneath the singing tree, another clue you're sure to see." They learned that the singing tree was somewhere in the Golden Grove, and off they trooped across the purple plain until... Indians, yes siree. And right now our friends are running as fast as they can. They don't dare look back. Goodness knows how many are chasing them, but I must say they're certainly hooping it up.
Faster! We just got to get away from them.
I'm going as fast as I can, Jimmy.
So am I. I feel like I'm getting a stitch in my stuffing.
Hang on to me, my friends. We must outdistance these aborigines.
Gee willikers, look ahead.
Cactus, a regular forest turret.
Let's run around it. Hurry.
It's no use. It stretches as far as I can see.
But we just got to try to get through. We just got to.
They're right behind us.
Oh, my poor Cinnamon Hyde.
Oh, why, they've stopped. Probably proceeding to surround us and subject us to their power.
Suppose we just don't pay any attention to them. Just be nonchalant.
I'm scared to turn around and look at them.
Gee, I guess they're waiting to spring on us.
I've heard that Indians admire courage. Let us turn and face them as boldly as possible. As I always say, put up a united front.
Right, Crazy Quilt. Come on, everybody. When I count three, we'll all turn around together. One, two, three.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Why, it's only one Indian.
Bless my stuffing, so it is.
How our fears magnified the number.
Look, he's all made out of wood.
How?
How do you do?
Oh.
You said that before. Can't you be less monotonous?
We better ask him who he is.
Maybe he doesn't speak English.
Me speak him plenty good English. Me go college, play him football, speak him swell English. Yeah, man.
What is your name, my lone aborigine?
Me chief cook and bottle washer.
Bless my stuffing. What an extraordinary name.
When me leave college, catch him job in cigar store.
What did you do?
Didn't you ever hear of a cigar store Indian?
Oh.
Me no like cigar store. Get tired people scratching matches on face. Get tired standing up all day. Lay down on job. Get fired.
Well, my vanishing American, why did you chase us clear across the purple plain with your hideous war whoops?
Me like beautiful overcoat.
Overcoat? Oh, what do you mean?
Your overcoat. Blue, green, red.
What?
Me love Indian princess. Many happy returns. Catch 'em coat. Go see many happy returns. Knock 'em cold.
Oh, well, I'm sensible of your admiration for my lovely colors, my petrified Hiawatha. But this is not an overcoat that I wear. It is my own hide.
Want 'em just same. Make trade. You give 'em coat. Me give you head start.
Bless my stuffing. That's hardly a trade, friend Indian.
I should say not, poor Crazy Quilt.
I'm sorry, but I could scarcely bring myself to part with my pelt. After all, a Crazy Quilt dragon without his outside would be nothing.
Gotta have him. No give, scalp him all over. Yeah, man.
Oh, please, Mr. Indian, don't take Crazy Quilt's beautiful coat away from him. Wait, I'll give you this wonderful magic lunchbox instead. It has cookies and sandwiches and lemonade
no.
and...
Me wooden Indian. No eat.
Oh, dear. What will we do?
Must have overcoat. Me wear. Chiefs open the eye. No get looking with many happy return. Give.
Say, Judy, remember how we got away from the Wintergreen Witch by showing her your looking glass? Try that on her.
All right, Jimmy. Mr. Indian, please look at this pretty looking glass. You can see your face in it.
I hardly blame you for saying As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised at all if you said
Pretty. Me like see face. Make trade. How much cost them?
Oh, nothing.
Too much.
I mean, we'll give it to you if you'll just leave the Crazy Quill Dragon alone.
Yes, my naughty native. That's a fair trade.
Me take too many happy returns. Goodbye.
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 Oh, I was scared for a minute that you'd be a skinned dragon, Crazy Quilt.
As a matter of fact, so was I. I'm very grateful to you, Judy, for saving my hide.
Oh, that's all right, dear Crazy Quilt. But if you'll excuse me, I'm getting awful anxious to find the Golden Grove with the singing tree, like Melissa told us to do.
You bet. And Christmas is getting closer and closer. And we've just got to get the Silver Star mended before we go back home.
Well, the Golden Grove is still a long way off. And we have to get around this mess of cactus first.
I wish we had the airplane which we left at the bottom of Looking Glass Valley.
Well, if we did have it, it wouldn't do us any good, because it'd be too small for Crazy Quilt to get into. And anyway, it had holes in the tank where the stork poked his bill through it.
And we didn't have any more soda pop to run it besides.
Oh, dear.
Would you feel inclined toward a bit of piggyback, Crazy Quilt? I think we might make better time.
Why, I'm just in the mood for piggyback. Hop on, and I'll take you on a personally conducted tour of the Purple Plain.
Hooray! We'd never get here.
Boy, this is sure something.
It's the Golden Grove, or I'm a cinnamon so-and-so.
Couldn't be anything else. Why, these trees are every one just as gold as can be. I never saw anything like it.
My goodness, I touched that one, and it felt just like a real honest-to-goodness tree.
Gee, isn't it funny? They're all just about the same size and shape and everything.
They're laid out like an orchard, aren't they? Stretching as far as I can see.
Even the grass and the moss are a sort of greenish gold.
Well, it's certainly awful pretty. But how are we going to know which one of these trees is the singing tree? They all look alike.
Oh, what's that? The Wintergreen Witch.
Judy, the looking glass. Quick, show her the looking glass.
Oh, Jimmy, I can't. I just gave it to the Indian.
Oh, Willikers, I forgot.
Oh, my poor stuffing.
What's that? No looking glass? It's very kind of you to tell me that you no longer have that dreadful looking glass with you.
Oh, dear.
That was the only thing that bothered me. Now, my pretties, it's Wintergreen's turn.
Oh, why do you have to disturb us? We promised to leave the island of Obi, and we did. We haven't done anything to hurt you.
Oh, you haven't, eh? I'll tell you what you did. Didn't you go to see Melissa?
Sure we did.
And you had the colossal impudence to tell her about meeting me. And what does she do? Just banishes me from the island of Obi. That's all.
I remember Melissa's remark about your practicing unlicensed magic. But surely you realize that you were breaking the law and should be punished.
Oh, indeed. And who is Melissa to make laws for Wintergreen the Witch, that empty-headed little minx? Before she became ruler of Maybeland, I was the ruler of the island of Obi. And now she takes away my magic forest. All my fine captives gone. Just turns me out of my home, that's all.
Oh, goody. I bet Fifo the gentle giant got out of your magic forest.
Yes, he did. And it's all due to you. Melissa just this minute pronounced judgment on me and magic called me off the island. But I'll fool her. I'm a better magic maker than she is anyway. You'll see.
Well, what are you going to do?
You'll see, I said. I'll make Melissa sorry that she ever commanded me to leave the island of Obi, never to return.
I can't understand why Melissa let such a dangerous creature run loose in Maybeland.
I'm going to make life pretty miserable for Melissa and the people of Maybeland, and I think I'll begin with you.
With us? You mean, cruel, ugly old witch. You just better not.
What can you do to stop me now? First of all, give me your silver star.
But it's all broken.
Broken in a dozen pieces.
What do you want with a broken star?
I'll make a dozen stars out of it. Hand it over.
I will not, you old buzzard.
I said hand it over.
Oh, gee willikers. Here it is.
Now, please, will you let us go?
No, my pretties. You're not going to have the chance to interfere with me again. No, indeed.
Oh, come now. None of us has any intention of interfering with you, my good woman.
Don't call me a good woman.
A good witch, then.
Don't call me good. I'm wicked, I am. I'm Wintergreen the Witch, and you dare to call me good.
Well, I'm sure I didn't know.
Well, you talk too much, crazy quilt dragon. But you won't much longer.
Oh, dear. I'm so scared, Jimmy.
Oh, don't be scared, Judy.
Yes, maybe she's joking.
Somehow, I don't just think she is.
Oh, dear. I wish Melissa could see this mean old witch trying to make trouble for us again.
Melissa? Melissa can't save you now.
Oh, I bet she could if she knew you were making magic when she told you not to.
Perhaps if she knew it. But she doesn't know it, and I'm going to make certain this time you won't do any more talking. I'm going to change you all into...
Into what?
I'm going to change you into bullfrogs.
Bullfrogs?
And you'll be able to do is croak. That's all. Croak. And the sooner you croak, my pretties, the better I'll like it.
My, that wicked Wintergreen witch is back again. I thought we'd seen the last of her, but that's the way it is with witches. They pop up when you least expect them. I certainly hope something happens to save our friends, but just between you and me, I can't imagine what it will be.
The Cinnamon Bear on Tuned to Yesterday, Part 19 of 26, a syndicated recording from December 17, 1937. For decades, there's been a group of dedicated fans of this series based in Portland, Oregon, known as the Cinnamon Bear Brigade, formed by their love of the series and most likely cemented when radio stations throughout the years have accommodated them by faithfully playing the 26 broadcasts of the show from just after Thanksgiving until Christmas Eve. During the 30s and 40s, some stations reportedly were known to play that day's scheduled installment twice in the same night, and even in the same hour, to ensure that younger listeners who had an earlier bedtime could hear the story before their older siblings who stayed up later could without disrupting their nightly routine. You're listening to an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, now on to episode 20 of 26 of The Cinnamon Bear, this first broadcast on December 18th, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
It's getting closer and closer to Christmas, and Judy and Jimmy and their friends are still a long way from getting the Silver Star mended. Queen Melissa's last instructions directed them to the Golden Grove, where they were supposed to find a most valuable clue underneath the singing tree. No sooner had they entered the grove and started to look for the tree than right out of nowhere jumped that wicked old Wintergreen witch. If only Judy hadn't given her looking glass to the wooden Indian, chief cook and bottle washer, she might have held it in front of the witch's face and scared her, like she did on the island of Obi. But when Wintergreen learned that Judy no longer had the dreadful looking glass, she right then and there decided to change the twins and Cinnamon Bear and the Crazy Quilt Dragon into bullfrogs. And it looks like nothing in the world or Maybeland can stop her. She just laughs and laughs and laughs.
teach you to tattle on the Wintergreen Witch. I'll teach you to trifle with my reputation.
Please, please, Mrs. Witch.
I told you once never to call me Mrs. Witch.
Please don't turn us into bullfrogs.
I never was very fond of bullfrogs.
I dare say they're all right in their way, but...
Keep still, all of you. Bullfrogs, I want you to be. And bullfrogs you shall be. I'll begin my incantation.
Oh, Jumbo.
Abracadabra. Ooh. Mumbo. Jumbo. Abracadabra. Ooh.
Gee, we're not bullfrogs yet, Judy.
I guess maybe she has to say some more things first.
Well, I don't feel in the least like a bullfrog yet.
Oh, I know what's the matter. Definitely.
What is it, Crazy Quilt?
The witch can't change anybody into anything. Melissa has not only banished her from the island of Obi, but has taken away her magical powers.
Oh, she's tearing her hair out.
Let her tear it. So, you would turn perfectly respectable citizens of Maybeland and the USA into bullfrogs, would you? Garrot.
And so, my hideous hag, you would cast your weird spells on us, would you? Ha ha! Well, where is your black art now, may I ask?
It seems that I can't do as I wished and change your babbling mouths to those of croaking bullfrogs. Let it be so. Melissa has done me one more bad turn, which I won't forget. But I still have what's left of your silver star.
Oh, my word, so she has.
You give it back, you nasty old witch.
Try and make me. My power may be gone, but I can still run faster than the wind. I'll take your star and throw it where you'll never, never see it again.
Oh, dear.
I'll run to the other side of the Golden Grove. It's the northern boundary of Maybeland, and there on the other side is a great abyss which separates it from the snow country. I'll throw your silver star down in that bottomless abyss.
No, you won't. I can run, too.
Catch her, Jimmy.
You bet.
Try and catch me.
I'll do my best, you woe-begone witch.
I'm not exactly built for speed, but I'll stay with you.
Gee willikers, she fell down.
But now she's picking herself up again.
My goodness, she fell down again.
Bless my stuffing, what goes on here?
One moment, my good woman. One moment, Pippi.
Who's that?
Jumpin' gee willikers, it's the Grand Wunky.
I wonder what he's doing here.
Well, hello, friend Wunky. What is the meaning of your welcome presence in these parts?
Oh, hello, hello. Greetings from Melissa and all that. Just a moment, please. I'm here in my official capacity right now. Wintergreen.
What do you want?
I simply want to tell you that you had better be a good witch, because you are surrounded by the very best quality A-1 witch-proof invisible net, and you cannot pursue your nefarious schemes any longer.
Oh, so that's what tripped her up and made her fall.
Oh, yes, indeed. Melissa's been watching you with a great deal of interest. Just toss that star back to the children, Wintergreen. There's a good witch. Oh. No, you have to be so unpleasant about it. Dear me, what an odious person you are, to be sure.
Does Melissa know what has happened to his Grand Wunky?
Oh, my, yes. Melissa knows everything that goes on in Maybeland. She sent me here to take charge of the Wintergreen Witch. Now, just step lively there, you ex-witch. Give the star back to the young man there.
There.
Oh, boy.
Thank you so much, Grand Wunky.
Not at all, not at all. Just in the line of duty, you know.
Well, now that you're here at the scene of the crime, so to speak, could you be telling us which one of these trees in the Golden Grove is the singing tree Melissa sent us to find?
You know, I'm terribly sorry, but I haven't the remotest idea. I'm afraid you'll have to find that for yourselves. I'm here purely on business, you understand.
Witch business?
Yes, witch business. I've been instructed to take the Wintergreen Witch into exile. So come along now, Wintergreen, old thing.
Where are you taking me? Have you no heart to take a poor old defenseless woman with no home, no place to lay her tired head, or somewhere she's never been?
My. I have no time to bandy words with you. Come on, Wintergreen.
Oh, son, think what you would do if your own mother were in my plight. Oh,
where are you taking this old reprobate Wunky?
Melissa has instructed me to conduct her to the Looking Glass Valley to spend the rest of her days.
Gee willikers, if you take her there, she'll scare herself to death looking at that face of hers.
Grand Wunky, if you take the mean old witch to Looking Glass Valley, you better take away the airplane you'll find at the bottom. Oh, that was the one Cinnamon Bear took Jimmy and me in before we landed in Looking Glass Valley. If you leave it there, she might be able to get out again and bother folks.
An airplane, did you say? Dear me, yes, I shall certainly give orders to have it removed to Melissa's palace, where you may obtain it when you wish. We mustn't give the Wintergreen Witch any opportunity of returning to circulation. No, no.
Oh, you're taking me to Looking Glass Valley. Do you realize what you're doing? Condemning me to spend the rest of my life in stark stare
poor Wintergreen. You've been mean to us, but I'm sorry for you there. Can't you close your eyes if you don't want to look at yourself?
No, I can't. Witches can't sleep. Can't even close their eyelids, because they haven't any.
Well. Come along, Wintergreen. Melissa's orders must be carried out to the letter, you know. Step lively now.
Goodbye, Grand Monkey.
Thanks for everything.
And convey our best to dear Melissa. Mm.
And that goes for me, too.
Yes. Goodbye, all. Shake a limb there, Wintergreen. Oh, come. Don't loiter, and please don't hobble like that.
Oh, dear. It's too bad the Grand Monkey didn't know which is the singing tree.
Oh, all the trees look alike. I don't see how we'll ever find it.
Thousands of them. Thousands and thousands.
I'm afraid I'm getting a bit sleepish.
So am I.
You know, I think I could do with about 39 winks.
I think we all need a little nap. Maybe we could look if we weren't so tired.
I'm going to lie right down here under this big tree.
Can I lean on you, Crazy Quilt?
Yes, go right ahead and make yourself at home. How about you, Judy? Want to use me for a pillow, too?
Cinnamon Bear's gone to sleep already. He's
Crazy Quilt. I think I hear music.
Birds are singing a sleepy time song.
Must have dropped off in spite of myself. Wake up, everybody. I mustn't sleep too long. Wake up.
George. Say, you know, I'm sure I heard someone singing.
So did I.
I'm sure I did, too. Or maybe we just dreamed it, huh?
Well, look here. Why, this wasn't anywhere around when we all lay down to sleep.
Bless my stuffing. It's a huge silk hat.
Why, it's the biggest one I ever did see.
Jiminy Crickets, I thought Mr. Presto the magician had a big hat. But this is just simply enormous. Why, it's bigger than all of us put together.
Look, it's got windows in it.
And there are some letters painted on it. The Flying Hat. My word, what do you suppose this is?
You know what? I bet you we went to sleep under the singing tree. That's what. Remember, we all thought we heard singing? And this great big hat is the clue Melissa said we'd find.
Sure enough. And see, Judy, here's a door in the hat.
My stuffing is getting more curious every minute.
Look, there's a note on the door.
I've got it. Just a minute.
Oh, Jimmy, hurry. What does it say?
Jumping Gee Willikers. Look!
I'm sorry, but we didn't get a chance to look, and I'm quite as curious as the cinnamon bear. Well, I suppose there's nothing to do but wait until next time to see what this flying hat is all about, and I'll be Johnny on the spot to get a real look at that note.
The Cinnamon Bear, on Tuned to Yesterday, episode 20 of 26, from December 18th, 1937. And we close this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday with a broadcast of the new adventures of Sherlock Holmes called The Night Before Christmas. This was heard on Christmas Eve, 1945, on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Petri Wine brings you Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce, The New Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. And now I'm sure our good friend Dr. Watson's waiting for us, so let's go in and join him.
Come in, come in, come in. There you are, Mr. Bartell.
Oh, say, Doctor, I can see you're going to have yourself quite a Christmas. Big tree in the corner with colored lights on it. Where'd you get those? Table covered with presents? You must be mighty popular.
They aren't all for me, my boy. You see, I'm having a Christmas party tomorrow for my housekeeper's little nieces.
Oh.
I'm going to dress up as Santa Claus for them.
Well, I'm sure you look very convincing in the part. Oh, by the way, Doctor, I brought you a little present.
Ooh,
here it is. I hope you'll like it.
Good way, Mr. Bartell. I got one for you, too, here, Summer. Oh, you mustn't open it until tomorrow. Here you are, my boy.
Thanks a lot, Doctor. And now, how's about tonight's story? Last week, you told us you'd chosen an adventure with a lot of Christmassy atmosphere.
Yes, Mr. Bartell. My story begins on another Christmas Eve many, many years ago. To be exact, in 1886. At the time the adventure occurred, I must confess I didn't quite understand what was going on myself. In fact, I never did quite make head or tails of it until Holmes took pity on me later and explained the whole thing. But I shan't try to confuse you, Mr. Bartell. I'll tell you the story exactly as it happened.
Right you are, Doctor. Let's go.
Very well. On that Christmas Eve in 86, I was standing in our Baker Street rooms, dressed in the costume of Santa Claus. Holmes's long, thin fingers pressed together, lay back in an armchair and gazed at me quizzically, while our housekeeper, Mrs. Hudson, stood by the door and...
Dr. Watson, you make a grand Santa Claus.
Doesn't he, Mrs. Hudson? Try the beard on, Watson, old chap.
I'm afraid this is going to be a little uncomfortable. How does it look?
Oh, you look just like the old man on the Christmas cards, Doctor.
Yes, Watson. It really becomes you. The cheery twinkle of the eyes, the ruddy complexion, and the appropriate girth. What a shame we can't obtain some snow and a sleigh and reindeer for you. However, I'm sure Mrs. Hudson's nieces will be very much impressed.
They will that, sir. And it's very kind of you, Doctor, to offer to come over to their house with me. With her father in the hospital and my sister at his bedside, it would have been a very miserable Christmas without me.
Oh, I shall enjoy myself, but I think I'll take this beard off before we get there. That's it. Are you ready to leave, Mrs. Hudson?
I am, sir. Will I get a cab?
How far do we have to go?
Oh, Lexington Gardens, number 28. It's just off the Edgware Road, Doctor.
Well, it's not far, but bearing in mind my costume, I suppose we'd better take a cab.
Aye, sir. I'll get one.
Holmes, what are you going to do with yourself? I hate leaving you alone on Christmas Eve.
Oh, don't worry, old chap. I shall spend a profitable evening writing on my new monograph.
Well, what's this one about?
An analysis of teeth marks on pipe stems, with particular regard to indicated character.
Oh, gracious me, how exciting. Well, I must be going.
Don't forget your sack of presents, old fellow.
No.
When you come to distribute them, you'll find that I took the liberty of adding a few trinkets on my own behalf.
Oh, that's very thoughtful of you, Holmes.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Holmes, but there's a gentleman to see you. Says he's an old friend of yours. Here's his card, sir.
Oh, thank you. It's Lord Whittingham. Splendid. Ask him to come up, please, Mrs. Hudson.
All right, sir.
And I hope your party is a great success, Mrs. Hudson.
Well, thank you, sir. Are you sure you don't want me to stay? Now that you have a visitor,
oh, no. Indeed, no, Mrs. Hudson. I can show the gentleman out myself. You go off and have a good time.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, I wonder what Lord Whittingham wants. Perhaps I should stay.
No,
and give
you... please, my dear fellow. Certainly not.
Huh?
Yeah, you've far more important work to do. Whittingham probably wants his revenge at chess. Or something equally innocuous. Off with you, my dear fellow, and enjoy yourself.
Oh, I better go. Just to say, I wish you were coming with me. I'll see you later.
I shall be there. Come on up, Whittingham.
Hello, Holmes. Oh, evening, Watson. You make a very convincing Santa Claus. Are you leaving?
I'm afraid so, Lord Whittingham.
Well, good night, then.
Good night, sir.
How are you, Holmes? All alone on Christmas Eve, eh?
Yes, Whittingham, I'm glad you came over to see me.
Mm-hmm.
What's it to be, an evening of chess, or have you unearthed some recent treasure of medieval pottery that we can discuss?
Neither, Holmes. I've come to you in your professional capacity. I need help.
Oh, come now, Whittingham. Don't tell me that after all these years of quiet friendship, you're going to become a client.
I'm afraid so, Holmes. Though I doubt if my problem will interest you very much. It's hardly up to your rather colorful standards. Care for a cigar?
Oh, thanks. Well, now, my dear Whittingham, what's your trouble?
Well, I decided this year to have a little Christmas party at my townhouse. I'm quite comfortably off, as you know, and it occurred to me that I have several relatives and friends who are not as well off. I'm having a party for them tonight, Holmes, and I hope you'd attend it, disguised as Santa Claus.
Oh, my dear fellow, I've adopted many disguises in my time, but Father Christmas has never been one of them. Why do you want me to attend your party in disguise in any case? You ashamed of your friendship with a private detective, or do you consider my features more acceptable when buried beneath the depths of a snowy beard?
Oh, my dear Holmes, do take me seriously. I'm not joking, I assure you.
Of course you're not, of course you're not. You want me to attend your party in disguise. Why?
I'm giving some very valuable presents. Diamond and onyx cufflinks, platinum and ruby earrings, and such like. And I've wrapped each of the presents in banknotes.
Oh, dear me. Where are these presents now?
In a sack, in charge of my butler. I was going to dress up as Santa Claus and give them out myself, until I got the warning letter. That's why I've come to you.
Warning letter, eh?
Yes, I received it by this evening's post. Listen to this. My dear Lord Whittingham, your generosity with Christmas presents borders on ostentation. We do not approve. Either we receive £5,000 in sovereigns at Post Restaurant Box 379 by 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, or I'm afraid your Christmas party will be conspicuous by its absence of presents.
Let me see that note, Whittingham, will you?
Yes, here you are.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Plain paper, torn from a penny notebook. The writing is obviously disguised. By George, yes. Whittingham, I accept the case. I'll come with you to your party at once, and furthermore, I shall follow your suggestion regarding a disguise. Dressed as Santa Claus, I shall be less likely to attract suspicion.
I'm delighted, Holmes. But what made you decide so suddenly?
This writing, my dear fellow, this writing. Well, it's in a false hand. I know that characteristic M in my dear Whittingham. I've seen it too often at the beginning of a signature. Moriarty.
Moriarty? Who's he?
Oh, one of the cleverest and most unscrupulous criminals in England. Whittingham, there's no time to be lost. It's, let me see now. 6:30. Half an hour beyond the deadline given you in this letter. We must go to your house at once.
This is as far as the cab can take us, Doctor.
Oh, here you are, cabby. Here's 5 shillings for you and a Merry Christmas.
Oh, bless you, gentlemen, and a Merry Christmas to you, too.
You said you wanted to get into the house through the back way so that you could surprise the children.
Yes, I thought come down the kitchen chimney.
Oh, you can get to the back of the house by going up the alley here. I'll go in the front door.
Splendid, Mrs. Hudson. Which is the house?
Number 28. It's the third one down the alley, Doctor. I'll have the back window open in no time, and you can slip in without any of the bairns seeing.
Very well. Gloomy little street, I must say. Well, where's the music coming from?
Oh, it's from that temple across the street, Doctor. The Disciples of the Octagonal Square, they call themselves.
What on earth do you suppose that means?
Oh, some newfangled cult. Heathens, most likely.
Hello. I'm not the only Santa Claus abroad tonight. Look at that fellow across the street over there.
Oh, dressed just like yourself, Doctor. And carrying a sack, too. Oh, he's running up the steps to the temple.
Great Scott, he slipped on the ice. Oh. I wonder what his hurry was. Here, my man.
Be careful now, Doctor. Don't trip yourself.
Here you are, sir. Now, give me a hand.
Thank you, sir. Silly of me, wasn't it?
Oh, we Santa Claus have to help each other, you know. Up you come. That's it.
Doctor, I told you to be careful. Now you've fallen, too.
Oh, it's this confounded red coat of mine. It tripped me up. Oh,
did you hurt yourself, sir?
No. I'm all right, I think. How about you, sir?
I'm all right, thanks. Oh. Silly of me to run, wasn't it?
Here's your sack, sir.
Well, thank you. Good night, and Merry Christmas.
Good night, same to you, sir, same to you. Oh, he went into the temple. The disciple of the Octagonal Square.
You're sure you're no hurt, Doctor?
No, of course not, Mrs. Hudson. Give me my sack, please. Thank you. Your sister's house is the third one down this alleyway, you say?
I'll hurry and open the back window.
Yes, I'll be waiting for you, Mrs. Hudson. This is rather fun. What a shame Holmes isn't with us. Well, he's probably happier having a good game of chess with Lord Willicombe.
This is my house, Holmes, number 39.
39 Bronson Square, eh? And dear old Watson is just around the corner in Lexington Gardens and hasn't any idea that I've left Baker Street.
Yes, here you are, Caddy.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas, sir.
Uh-huh. Isn't that? Carol singers.
Yes, we'll probably have our fill of them before this evening's over.
Good evening, my lord.
Have the guests arrived, Hargreave?
Most of them, sir. They're in the library. You brought another Santa Claus with you, I see, my lord.
Another Santa Claus? What do you mean?
The gentleman arrived 3/4 hour ago, sir, dressed as Santa Claus. I took him to your study, my lord, and showed him the sack of presents.
Confound it! He's got here before us. Where's this study?
This way. I hope I didn't do wrong, my lord. You told me that a gentleman dressed as Santa Claus would be coming here. Dear me. The gentleman appears to have gone.
Yes, and the sack containing the presents with him.
But he can't have left the house, my lord. I've been watching the front door.
Yes, and while you were doing that, he slipped out through the window here. The catch is undone. Hargrave, describe this man.
Well, I can't tell you much about his appearance, I'm afraid, sir. He was dressed as Santa Claus, just like yourself. But I did notice one thing about him, sir.
Oh? What was that?
He lisped, sir. It was quite pronounced.
Of course. Lou the Lisper.
Who on earth is Lou the Lisper?
One of Moriarty's most trusted accomplices. Fortunately, though, I've had news of him lately through my underworld grapevine.
You know where he lives?
He's reputed to have some connections with a new cult that calls themselves the Disciples of the Octagonal Square. Their headquarters are just around the corner from here.
Let's go there at once.
Of course. And Hargrave.
Yes, sir.
Get a message to Scotland Yard as fast as you can. Ask for Inspector Lestrade and tell him to join me at the Temple of the Octagonal Square in Lexington Gardens as soon as possible.
Oh, the children are awful excited, Doctor. I told them you just came down the chimney.
I'll slip the beard on and then I'll go into them.
Will I announce you, Doctor?
Yes, please, Mrs. Hudson.
All right, sir.
Now,
children, quiet. Santa Claus has come to see you, and he's brought you all presents.
Hello, children.
Hello, Santa Claus. My name's Elsie. Did you bring me a present?
I did, Elsie. I'll look in my sack in a minute, and what's your name, young man?
Herbert, they call me Bertie. Did you come down the chimney?
Yes, Bertie.
I bet you had a time doing it. You're so fat.
Oh, don't be rude, Bertie, or Santa Claus won't give you your present.
And what's your name, little man?
Lyadle. I've got a cold.
Yes, I see you have. Well, children, gather around me and I'll see what presents I got for you.
The first
present is for... I'll be right. It says for Her Grace, the Dowager Duchess of Beulah.
Oh, do you suppose Mr. Holmes has been playing a practical joke on you, Doctor?
I suppose so. Well, I can't see the point myself. But he did say that he'd added a few trinkets of his own.
I want my present.
Then supposing you take this, Elsa.
Oh, true, thank you.
And this one is marked for the Reverend Arthur Carter. Okay. I knew what Holmes was up to. Here you are, Bertie.
Cool, thanks.
And this is for you, Lionel, because you've been a good little boy.
It's a very big, is it? I wanted the dog.
Oh, wanted the dog for Christmas. Well, I'll bring you a dog next year, Lionel. Oh,
Dr. Watson.
Yes, we have...
Oh, look at the wrapping on these presents, Doctor. Well, they're 20-pound notes.
Cut.
Oh, cool. Look what I got.
Now, let me see. Why, cufflinks and diamond and onyx ones, unless I'm very much mistaken.
I got pretty earrings. Look how they sparkle.
Let me see, Elsie. Good gracious, I swear that these are platinum and rubies. What in thunder's going on?
I want my earrings back.
Give me back mine, too.
Well, here you are, here you are.
Dr. Watson, what do you suppose has happened?
I don't know, Mrs. Hudson. Perhaps my toys are still at the bottom of the sack. I can't understand it. Oh. I wish Holmes were here instead of dozing in front of our fire in Baker Street.
Where are you, Holmes?
Here by the bed. This is the only room in the temple that gives any signs of having been lived in. I think our bird has been here, but I'm afraid he's flown. I'm sure Inspector Lestrade will get here. Strike a match, will you, Whittacombe?
Right. Here's a candle on the table.
Oh, just as I feared. Look on the bed.
A red coat and a beard.
Yes, Lou the Lisper has discarded his disguise and gone, and with him, I'm afraid, your valuable presence.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's a sack lying on the floor. Oh, no, this isn't mine. Look what's in it. A toy dog, large box of chocolates, little girl's doll.
What in thunder? Well, this is Watson's sack.
But how on earth could Lou the Lisper have got hold of it?
Somewhere, somehow, he and Watson must have made an accidental change, and Lou the Lisper is no doubt trying to track Watson down at this very moment. He must work fast, Whittacombe, or my friend's life and those of Mrs. Hudson and her relatives won't be worth our tinker's damn.
At the time, of course, I had no idea what was going on. There I was, cheerfully handing out gifts worth, well, if not a king's, at least a baronet's ransom. While outside the temple of the octagonal square, Holmes and Lord Whittacombe were talking to Inspector Lestrade, Scotland Yard.
In a nutshell, Lestrade.
Yeah, it seems to me, Lord Whittacombe, you'd have been wiser to get in touch with Scotland Yard when you first got the warning note. We could have nabbed him when he came to your house and pinched the sack of presents.
Lestrade, this is no time for post-mortems. We've got to reach Lou the Lisper before he finds Dr. Watson.
Do you suppose he can do that, Holmes?
It wouldn't be difficult. Lou the Lisper is nearly as clever as his master, Professor Moriarty. The chances are that you were followed when you came to Baker Street tonight, Whittacombe. And it's equally likely that Watson and Mrs. Hudson were followed as they left it. Moriarty seldom leaves anything to chance.
Well, where did Dr. Watson go tonight?
28 Lexington Gardens. It's just around the corner from here.
Well, then let's go there at once.
Right now, quarry away. No, Lestrade. We must use a little subtlety. Now, Lou the Lisper wishes to recover that sack of presents from Watson. How would he invade the party with the least possible trouble?
By dressing up as Santa Claus again.
No, I think he's overplayed that role for one evening.
Well, then how would he try to get in, Mr. Holmes?
Oh, come now, Lestrade. What group of people can enter any house on Christmas Eve without invitation and without creating suspicion?
The carols.
Exactly, my dear fellow. I shouldn't be at all surprised if at this very moment Lou the Lisper and some of his gang are singing carols outside 28 Lexington Gardens.
Well, then what are we going to do?
Form a rival choral society. How many of your men did you bring with you?
Three. A sergeant and two constables.
Wearing greatcoats?
Yes, Mr. Holmes. But why?
Good. They can hide their helmets and pretend to be singers. Come on. Let's go over there, and while we're walking, we'll rehearse our carols. We must appear reasonably convincing. Sangere, Lestrade, sangere.
Thank you for a ride on your back, Santa Claus?
No, no, you mustn't make Santa Claus too tired, Lyle.
Oh, that's all right, Mrs. Hudson. Hop on, Lyle, hop on.
Oh,
can't they come inside and sing for us, Santa
Claus?
Yes,
of course they can. Ask them to come in, Mrs. Hudson, will you?
All right, sir.
Oh, come on. Let me get on your back, too.
Oh, no, take it easy. Oh, there we go.
I want to see your reindeer, Santa.
See my reindeer? Oh, dear, boy, they're up on the roof.
I'll climb up and see them.
No, you mustn't do that. They're asleep. Oh, here are the carol singers. Off you get, children. There we go. That's it now. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, and Merry Christmas.
Would you like to sing some carols for the children? After that, I'm sure you'd like a drop of something to warm you up.
Well, thank you, sir. We should like that.
Haven't I met you before somewhere, my man?
No, sir. I'm sure you haven't. Come on, man. Let's sing Good King Wenceslas.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen.
Well, here we are outside the house, Mr. Holmes. Now watch. Shh. Listen. Lou the Whisperer and his men are already there.
Are we going in now?
In a moment. Now, men, you will have your truncheons handy?
Yes, Mr. Holmes, we're ready.
Splendid. Now, remember, when we're inside and I yell Merry Christmas at the top of my voice, you bring out your truncheons and get Lou the Whisperer and his gang out of there as quickly as possible. Don't arrest them until you get them outside again, Lestrade. I don't want to frighten the children.
Right you are, Mr. Holmes. We're ready. Just give us the word and we'll go in and get them.
Oh, that was very nice singing. And now, how about something to warm you all up?
That won't be necessary, Dr. Watson. See to the door, Sammy. Now, all of you, stay right where you are.
Who are you? What do you think you're up to?
Please don't be difficult, Doctor. All I want is the jewels out of my sack that you stole from me tonight. If you try and stop me, I shall have to hurt you.
Why do you talk so funny? You got a cold like me.
Shut up. Now, Doctor, where are the jewels? Oh, curse it. There are some more carol singers outside.
Well, I'll tell them to go away, Lou.
No, better let them come in. If we don't, they might get suspicious.
All right, Lou. First you know what you're up to.
Now, no tricks, Doctor. If you try and give an alarm, I shall have to get rough with you.
Oh, I don't mind about that, but just remember that there are children present.
Oh, yeah, Manny. Come over here before you, eh? What you say? We all join a little carol for the nippers, eh?
All right. What do you want to sing?
Up the old angels sing, eh?
All right. Come on, man. Let's sing.
Oh, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
Merry Christmas!
Dr. Watson, what's happening? They're all hitting each other with punches.
Here, you can't do that. They're all going away. They're dragging each other out. Hey, come back here.
Oh, terrible.
Holmes, what in thunder's going on?
I'll explain it to you later, old chap. Lestrade!
Yes, Mr. Holmes?
Take them to Scotland Yard and prefer charges. I'll be over in a little while and give evidence.
Right you are, sir. Too bad we didn't catch Professor Moriarty, too.
Well, at least we have some of his cohorts. I'll see you later, Lestrade.
I wish I knew what was going on here. Is Moriarty mixed up in this business?
Yes, Watson. I'll tell you all about it as soon as I've straightened this thing out. Now, Whittacombe.
Yes, Holmes.
The 20-pound notes that you used as wrapping for your gifts seem to have been scattered all over the house. Do you want me to recover them, too?
No. From what you've told me of the children, I think their parents could use the money much more profitably than my relatives. In any case, I can replace it.
A very generous Christmas gift. Well, children, did you enjoy the little game we staged for you?
It was enough fun.
Yes, I nearly died laughing when they started hitting each other.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, children. And now I want you to show me the presents you received.
I got these pretty earrings.
Oh, they were a part of the game, too. A nice little girl like you doesn't want silly earrings, Elsie. Here's a beautiful doll for you.
Her eyes opened shut and everything.
And what did you get, my little man?
These.
Oh, cufflinks. Good gracious. Who wants cufflinks when he can have a clockwork train? You want to exchange?
Praying Lord love a duck, yes.
I wanted a doll.
There's one for you, Lionel. A nice, nice woolly dog.
Oh, good.
And here's a nice... Here you are, Julie. Here's a nice big box of chocolates, too. You can all share them.
Oh, Lummy, what a night. Oh. I ain't had as much fun since Granny got her finger stuck in a pluggo.
I still don't understand what's going on, Holmes, but I must say this has all the earmarks of being a happy Christmas.
Yes, oh. Mrs. Hudson.
Hi, Mr. Holmes.
How's the turkey coming along?
Oh, it'll be ready in a few minutes, Mr. Holmes.
Splendid. And while we're waiting, perhaps the children will oblige with something we haven't heard so far.
Yes, Mrs. I know what you mean. A Christmas carol that really sounds convincing. How about it, children?
All right, sir. Come on, Elsie. Come on, Lionel.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Tonight's Sherlock Holmes adventure was written by Dennis Green and Anthony Boucher and was suggested by an incident in the Sir Arthur Conan Doyle story, The Adventure of the Blue Carbuncle. Music is by Dean Fossler. Mr. Rathbone appears through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and Mr. Bruce through the courtesy of Universal Pictures, where they are now starring in the Sherlock Holmes series. The Petri Wine Company of San Francisco, California, invites you to tune in again next week, same time, same station. Sherlock Holmes comes to you from our Hollywood studios.
The New Adventures of Sherlock Holmes on Tuned to Yesterday from December 24th, 1945 on Mutual Radio. And that brings to a close this hour of Christmas programs on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy holidays.